I'm gonna have three members of the family who are going to be speaking, and then I'll follow. First is Jeff Ammon, second one will be Craig Walker, and then Gina Jaffe. So please, the son, Jeff.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for everybody that's been here today. It means a lot to our family, and I'm sure it would mean a lot to my father as well. He loved many, many people in the community, and thankfully he was also loved by very many people as well. So we're very grateful for everybody who came and everybody who are here today, so thank you. We're here today to honor the life and legacy of my father, Albert L.B. Ammon. This is a day, truthfully, that I've not been looking forward to for some time now. I felt so lucky to have both my parents alive and well for so much of my life. Even as my parents got older, they still exhibited a youthfulness that belied their years. Only recently, it seems that they have aged. My father reached a venerated age of 94 just a couple of months ago. Dad was born in New York to Isaac and Kalo Amon in 1931. I regret to say that I don't know much about my father's formative years growing up in New York. My dad was a fairly reserved gentleman and did not often share details of his life. One of the few stories I did hear recently from my cousin Razi, actually, was regarding my father's youth. It took place in the deli restaurant that my papu, Isaac Ammon, owned in the Lower East Side of Manhattan on Delancey Street. That's where he worked with my dad's sister and Razi's mother, Regina Givry. My dad and his brother, my uncle Louis Ammon, would go to the restaurant and play, which was evidently not so great for business. Having a couple of rambunctious kids running around was not such a great thing for the business, I understand. My papa would bribe his two sons with a nickel each and tell them to go play someplace else. Mind you, that was when a nickel was worth something. Dad also told me that when he was a bit older, he used to enjoy going to the Spanish and Portuguese synagogue, Shevet Yisrael, in New York. He said he would take a bus for half an hour each way to attend Shabbat services. Sorry he broke Shabbat, but at least he was attending services. I guess this is where he got his love of tefillah and Shabbat. Dad unfortunately lost his mom due to illness when he was very young. After Nona's passing, that's Kalo Amon's passing, he was raised by Papu and Dad's sibling, especially his sisters, Regina and Esther, eventually Esther Eskenazi. By the time he graduated from high school, he had already been drafted into the army to serve in the Korean War. During the war, Dad was stationed on a base somewhere in Europe. I need a separate thesis. While he was fortunate not to see any combat on the battlefield, he did face his own share of daily battles as a cook in the army kitchen. The stories he brought home weren't about the horrors of war, but rather the culinary catastrophes he bravely endured. Overcooked stews, mountains of potatoes to peel, and the occasionally mystery meat that struck fear into the bravest of soldiers. He carried his newfound talent as an accomplished cook back with him after the war, and it served him well through the remainder of his life. I still remember his great breakfast that he would prepare for our family on Sunday mornings. My first Jewish memory was from when I was quite young, maybe 4 or 5 years old. That's when Dad taught me to recite the Shema Olam Tavis, the Shema Yisrael, which we say before going to sleep. And thankfully, I still say that every night, so I'm very happy about that. Mom and Dad ensured my Jewish education continued beyond the bounds of the home, including attendance 3 times a week at the Sephardic Religious School and Shabbat attendance at Kol. I still have memories of going to Bikur Halim with Dad as a child, not in the current building, but in the house that was used as a makeshift synagogue until the new building was completed. Well, admittedly, those memories have unfortunately faded a little. I recall enjoying spending my time with my father at Call. While circumstances led to an interruption in our daily routine for a few years, I was very happy when shortly after my bar mitzvah, we were right back to weekly attendance each Shabbat, but this time it was at Ezra Seraph. We moved to EB to support my maternal grandparents, who at the time didn't have much other family regularly attending services with them. My father's return to involvement with the synagogue eventually inspired him to buy his own pair of tefillin, and he became a daily minyaner. Minyaner is a title that we give to our people that actually make it a point to attend very regularly to the synagogue, and thankfully, my dad was one of those people. I recall finally Dad's years of consistent attendance and participation in daily and Shabbat tefillot, where he was an integral to the success of ensuring the congregation had enough attendees for a minyan every morning. Our time at synagogue together became our special time. Seeing each other at Call and frequently eating together after tefillah services on Shabbat. As many of you likely know, Dad became somewhat of a celebrity at Kahal. Besides just helping and volunteering frequently for various functions, he actually became an honorary member of the Ladies Auxiliary. In addition to making the Sephardic treats we all love, he was also involved in purchasing supplies for the Ladies Auxiliary with Mom, helping at the Purim bazaars, and famously preparing the lunches during baking days, using the skills he picked up during his army service to ensure that all the volunteers never went home hungry. Dad was always well loved by everyone. Mom and Dad were fortunate to share more than 68 years of marriage together, which to me is a tremendous accomplishment. Their relationship has taught all who witnessed it so much about loyalty and commitment. Despite the usual challenges all marriages experience, despite the usual challenges all marriages experience. In the last year, those challenges became harder to navigate due to infirmity and a general decline in health. It was a very difficult decision for our family to move Dad to memory support for at the summit. I know this was a difficult transition for both my parents, living in separate apartments after almost seven decades together. Despite that, Mom visited Dad every day and tried to maintain some semblance of normalcy in their relationship. I know Mom put in many hours toward caring for Dad despite the health challenges of her own. And I want to thank you, Mom, for being a great wife and life partner to Dad. Thank you for that. I also want to thank my sisters, Carrie, Gina, and Michelle, for their efforts in helping to keep things going and supporting our parents through this difficult transition. I know this has not been easy on any of us, but I see the qualities of Dad embodied in terms of commitment and dedication to our family and to those who he holds dear, present in all of us. Thank you to all my sisters for everything that you've done for Mom and Dad. I also want to thank the staff at the summit and Dad's medical team for all they have done to care for Mom and Dad and to ensure that Dad was cared for in a comfortable setting in the last weeks of his life. Lastly, I want to thank everyone who has come to honor my father. There are so many of you here, and even who are not here, who have been great friends of my father. I want to specifically mention two people who have been very special in helping my dad, and they are Greg and Charlene Eisen. Greg and Charlene, I know you're here, I saw you earlier, but I want to thank you so much for making the time and taking my dad always to services every week. It was very important to be at the synagogue and couldn't have done it without you. So thank you for that. Also to thank the many, many friends that Dad had in our greater community as well. I'd like to thank Rabbi and Cecilia Ben-Zaken, who helped with this service, and for their great friendship and support during this time and in general. They're always there, Rabbi, all the time. We're really happy to have you here and very honored to have you here. I'm already missing my father now. It's starting to happen. And I wish him peace and contentment with his family he left behind. May his rest be in the Garden of Eden. Love you, Dad. And thanks again to all of you for joining us today.
Good afternoon, everybody. Today we remember a man who lived with quiet strength, unwavering kindness, and a heart that always seemed to hold more space for others than himself. Albie Ammon, also known as Papu. He was the kind of person whose presence made a room warmer simply by being there. For the last 23 years, I've had the privilege of sitting beside him at most every Rosh Hashanah and Pesach meal. Year after year, that seat beside him became more than just a place at the table. It became a place of connection, tradition, and comfort. Albie made it feel that way. He reminded us, without ever needing to say it, that family always comes first. It was such an amazing honor that he tasked me to help conduct the service each and every year. The Yehrezones will not be the same without him, ever. And family meant everything to him. His wife, Selma, or San, I should say. His children, Gina, Kerr, Jeff, and of course my wife, Shel. Each of them carries a piece of him, his softness, his humor, his generosity, and his ability to care deeply without asking for anything in return, except maybe a bit of suntan lotion. Watching the way he loved them and the way they loved him was one of the greatest privileges of being part of this family. Albie's unwavering dedication to Ezi Bezi and the Women's Auxiliary, well, what can I say, that was Albie. Papu loved simple joys, the sun, the pool, a good day spent just soaking in the warmth, whether in the desert, at the bay, or by the pool on 48th. If the sun was out, he was all in. And while he wasn't the loud, shouting at the TV kind of sports fan, I'm convinced that if he had to pick a team, he would have rooted for the Yankees. Not just because of his New York roots, because, well, at least they used to win with consistency. And consistency is exactly how he lived. Consistent love, consistent kindness, and consistent presence. And of course, there was ketchup, known across the family as Papu sauce. I know somebody in here that's taken that on very, very well. He put it on absolutely everything, except I'm proud to say one thing he refused to drown it in, and that was my rack of lamb. And that became one of the most unexpected and meaningful compliments I ever received. Albie had a way of making the simplest moments feel sacred, a shared meal, or even just a sunny afternoon. A man does not need to be loud to leave a profound mark. He just needs to give of himself, and he gave his time, his patience, and his heart. He leaves behind a legacy of gentleness, generosity, and family devotion. And through Shell, Gina, Carrie, and Jeff, through his grandchildren who are here, all over the room, and his great-grandchildren, and through everyone here whose life he touched, his spirit continues. We will miss his smile, we'll miss his warmth, and yes, we'll miss the Papu sauce jokes. But the lessons he lived by stay with us: care for others, cherish your family, and remember that showing up day after day matters more than anything. Shell, Gina, Carrie, and Jeff, you share something in common with my sister Andrea and myself and many others in this chapel. Your dad was a true mensch. We have lost a couple in the past month or so, in fact, several over the past years. And whether you're an Ammon, a Walker, an Eskenazi, a Mashpatel, a Calvo, a Jaffe, or a Capilotto, and I could go on and mention everyone here, but we are all very fortunate to have been able to call these great men menches. In fact, Albie was a mensch of mention. I'll bet Papu and Poppy are listening to Tony Bennett and Frank Sinatra right now as we speak together. May Albie, Ammon's, Papu's, Dad's memory be a blessing, and may we honor him not only with our words today, but in the way we treat each one another in all the days to follow. Yizhi Ra Baruch.
Okay. Thank you, family and friends, for being here today to honor and celebrate the life of my father. He was known as LB, Uncle L, Uncle Pal, Papa, Papu, or just simply Dad. He had such a beautiful soul, a love for life that he shared with the people that surrounded him. He adored his kids, his grandkids, his great-grandkids, and especially his wife, Sandy. There was nothing as pure as the love he shared with her. Dad lit up the room with his contagious smile, always offering a willing handshake, a kiss on the cheek, a hug, or a, "Hey babe, how you doing?" That was his favorite line. Dad loved the sunshine. You can all thank him for what's going on up there. He brought that for us for today, and we are very thankful for that. He treasured his time at Birch Bay, and he always had his bags packed, already bags packed ready to fly to Arizona to spend time with Karen and the boys. They always took care of him, and boy, he felt right at home when he was there. And man, when some of his special moments, Karen, you know that. My dad was an easy, simple man. He didn't need much, and he just didn't need much. You gave my dad a chase lounge, lathered him up with some suntan lotion, put on a little Barbra Streisand, a little Frank Sinatra, maybe even gave him Wallbanger, Harvey Wallbanger. He probably would enjoy that. That was his recipe for happiness. That's what he truly enjoyed. He didn't need to have all these big things. Money was not important. He had his family. And his family meant everything to him. As most of you know, our dad was in the hospital for about a month. He definitely had his ups and downs. In typical Albie form, he charmed the doctors and the nurses. They would come in and ask, "How are you feeling, Albie?" My dad's response would always be the same. "I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic." Great. That's just who he was. And then before they would leave the room, he would always add on, "Thanks for stopping by." Okay, it was some kind of party in there that we maybe didn't know about it. His one-liners were pure magic. He cracked jokes. He never complained. On one particular day, me and Mom went to visit Dad. He was resting. We were talking, you know, a little tralashon, you know how it goes. All of a sudden, Dad started talking loudly. Trust me. It went something like this. "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my show. I'm Albie Amon, and I'm the star of the show." We just looked at him like, what is going on here? We have no idea. But we played along. He introduced special guests. He apologized when we had to take an intermission. And he promised that he would be back shortly. He did the whole thing, and it went on for hours, and we just fell in love with him all over again, just like you would have if you could have heard it in person. But boy, what a memory we will always have of that. Who would have known our dad was really the first Pat Sajak? When we would leave, you know, the hospital for the day, we would always, you know, I would remind my dad, "Dad, now listen, you don't, you have to push a button. You could either push it on the right, you could push it on the left, you could push it on the remote. Okay, if you need the nurses, that's all you have to do. That's all you have to do." Okay. Make sure, I wanted to always make sure he understood. I asked him so many times before we would leave. I would say, "Dad, you understand what's going on here?" "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I got it. Okay, great." He never once pressed that button. He never pushed the button. He had a different way of alerting the nurses. And I apologize for this, but he would say, "Hello?" Very loud. And they'd come running. It was like my dad was thinking to himself, "I didn't need to push a button. Don't you know who I am? I'm Albie Amon. I am the star of the show." Okay. And that was really funny. Dad, to all of us, you will always be the star of the show. You taught me the meaning of compassion and courage and inspired me to be the person I am today. I will always be grateful forever for this and for you. We want to thank our friends and family and our beautiful cousins for the outpouring of love you have given us near and far. The calls, the visits, the shoulders to cry on. We couldn't have done it without you. Thank you. To the staff at Swedish Hospital and the summit, we thank you for your love and your support. To the staff on the second floor of the summit where my dad lived his last days of his life, thank you for your patience and the love you shared with Mr. Albee. He truly adored all of you. On behalf of our family, thank you again from the bottom of our hearts for being here today. Dad would have been overwhelmed by your love. He would have gotten a real kick out of this show. So thank you.
Reverently, we are gathered together today to pay our last respect to a person whom we love and appreciated. A person who gave us all so much of himself. Was a good husband, father, father-in-law, grandfather, and great-grandfather. Was a good brother to his brother and sister who passed before him, and a dear friend. That was Albert Amon. Our rabbis describes life this way. They say in simple terms that we can understand, even though it's deep. We come into the world out of the darkness of our mother's womb. For a brief interval, we enjoy the warmth and beauty of what life has to offer. We try to make this world a little bit better than as we found it. And by doing good deeds, not only for ourselves, but even for others, we have a guide to do that. It's called Jewish living, Torah and mitzvot. And then, because it is our inescapable destiny, they tell us we disappear into the night of eternity. However, person continues to live on in the memories of those who knew him, benefited from him, from his goodness. Though a man may have physically passed on, our rabbis tell us, even though they are not in this world, as long as there are people whose life have been touched by his life, he continues to live on beyond the grave. You know, we know that family, friends, and neighbors, in reviewing the event of a lifetime, do not remember everything. But they choose from the multitude of memories of a person's life, his career, and his association with others, those memories that have continuing meaning for them. And it is these memories that remain a living influence in their lives. Those of you, those of us who have gathered here, are many unvaried memories of the years that you spent together with Albert. Albert Amon was born in New York on September 13, 1931. Try to remember that. It was 94, really. It's an achievement to be able to be as he was, happy, contented, and a good person, communicator with others, always in a good way, I would say, in a smooth, calm way. That's how Albie was. And he was the son of the late Yitzhak and Carlo Amon, and brother of the late Reina Regina Gebri, and the late Esther Eskenazi, and brother of the late Eliyahu Amon. Alberti is survived by a large loving family, and I want to mention them because by mentioning them, it just says so much about Albi Amon. And everyone is connected in love and affection. His loving family includes his beloved wife Selma and children Jeff and Dalia Amon, Kari Capi and Gina Caperuto, Kari Capelluto, Gina, Bruce and Jaffe, and Michelle and Craig Walker, as well as his many grandchildren, Itzhak and Erin Capelluto, Mikey and Jay Capelluto, Leah and Alec Fletcher, and Jason and Sarah Jaffe, Avi and Naama Amon, and Itai and Reina Amon, Ophir Amon, and Adam Walker. He's also survived by his great-grandchildren. God's blessing, Maurice and Cortez Capelluto, Anaya and Marcelo Capelluto, Micah Jaffe and Leora Amon. She's cute. Albert was born in New York, but he became an integral part of our Sephardi community here in Seattle. He fell at home in both our synagogue, our Sephardi Bikur Cholim, and the Dravet Sharo congregation. And his entire life he served our community. That's what he was, a person who served the community, who served others. He did things for others, not only for himself. And everybody loved Albi Amon. Now, Albert learned the hard way to navigate what we call life. He worked many years for Boeing as a parts specialist, and he cared about his children to give them a Jewish education and to be proud of their Jewishness. He was a hardworking man, generous, and always thinking about others. Very ethical and very honest, and what the daughter describes, how he had his own way of expressing himself. That's what exactly is in ethic and in honest. And that's why he was never shy to say what he needed to say. And he loved all his grandchildren and encouraged them. He was always optimistic and thinking about other people. Wanted to live and enjoy his grandchildren's achievement. Albert met his sweetheart Selma when she was very young. I heard that she was 18 only. And they married in 1957. She must have just left high school. And that's what I know, Selma. He enjoyed to bake with the ladies auxiliary at the Dravet Sarot. That's where I know I remember so much. And I always saw he was always doing some errand for the Dravet Sarot. So when I heard anything about the Dravet Sarot, I always remember it, Albi. He retired from Boeing in 1997, and from then on, he did not just waste his time for himself. He volunteered for a Dravet Sarot, for the Klein-Galan home. He volunteered for 20 years. And he was a regular in the synagogue at the Dravet Sarot, as his son Jeff mentioned. Albert and Selma traveled together a lot. They went 4 times to Eretz Israel, visited Panama, Arizona, and many cruises that they are together. That's how they were connected for 68 years, mashallah. You know, if I would have known that, I should have advised you, you should have gone traveling just to give lectures about how to be 68 years married and still talking to each other. His best friends were all his family. And when I said that, You know, I could see the family automatically. They said, that was the best friend, hermanos, hermanas, cousins, nephews, and nieces. Those were his best friend. And I want to tell you, Selma, you know, my wife loves you, Selma. But, you know, you were his nurse, you know, Albie's nurse, his guardian angel. And this is what my wife said. She said, you make sure you tell Selma that. So I did. Rabbi Harold Kushner wrote in his book, When All You Have Ever Wanted Isn't Enough, he said this, I believe that it is not dying that people are afraid of, something else, something more unsettling and more tragic than dying frightens us. We are afraid of never having lived, of coming to the end of our days with a sense that we were never really alive, that we never figured out what life was for. Albie Amon did figure it out. And it is not how long we live. And he did live long. But I suppose for the most part, it is how we live each moment, each hour, each day. Albie knew how to live life every moment meaningfully. And this is how, why he was the way he was and the way he expressed himself all the time. Albie was a man of reality, of incredible satisfaction about life in general and about his family in particular. And he always made sure that everything ran properly in life and always remained below the deck, because he understood that by maintaining all of the moving parts, no matter what ship he was navigating, was the key to staying afloat. In this ship that is called life, he was not only a sailor, he was its captain. That's why he didn't press that button. And he was in command of this ship. And let me leave you with this thought about life. Selma and the family and the children and grandchildren. He was a husband, a father, a grandpa too. This is the legacy we have from you. You taught us love and how to fight. You gave us strength and you gave us might. A stronger person would be hard to find, and in your heart, you were always kind. You fought for us all in one way or another, not just as a husband, not just as a father. For all of us, you gave your best. Now the time has come for you to rest. So go in peace. You have earned your sleep. Your love in our hearts, we will eternally keep. You can shed tears that is gone, or you can smile because he has lived. And you can close your eyes and pray that he will come back. Or you can open your eyes and see all he is left. Your heart can be empty because you can't see him. Or you can be full of the love that you shared. You can turn your back on tomorrow and live yesterday. Or you can be happy for tomorrow because of yesterday. You can remember him and only that he's gone, or you can cherish his memory and let it live on. You can cry and close your mind, be empty and turn your back, or you can do what he would want. Smile. Open your eyes. Love and go on. And this is Albie Amon. He was that kind of person. May he rest in peace. Tehenish matot rabbi tzorachayim.